The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. And today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot is the very first daf. We begin a wonderful new Masechet today. Just in time, we've been delaying things to get Benson here. And thank God we can now begin. So we are holding on daf Beit right here, Bein Chomot Yerushalayim. And as a brief introduction, all of you, of course, are aware of the concept of a Ketuvah, having gone through all of this yourselves. And basically, what the Ketuvah consists of is, in its essence, is a chiyuv, which there are some, especially the Ashkenazim, who like to put into Chazir v'chiyuv midoraita. It consists of what is called in the Torah Mohar HaBetulot. Mohar HaBetulot apparently is something that is the value, in cases of rape or seduction, the value of having violated a woman's or a girl's betulim. And because of that, everybody came out agrees that it's at most a smach, that's not really that the Ketuvah is the writer, but that the Chachomim were mitaken. It is a very early takona that can't even be traced. We could trace it way, way back, but there's no specific time where we could say that Besdin met to create this chiyuv. And it basically goes like this, that since the idea of Kedushin is a kviut of marriage, somebody who can easily get rid of a woman by divorcing her, and you could have her get prepared to give her at any time. Because of that, we want to make the marriage more binding, and in order, we want there to be consequences. So if there are no consequences to the dissolving of a relationship, then for all intents and purposes, you're talking about free sex. And free sex is not acceptable in terms of the concept of kedusha, because it's too easily accessible for others. If at the moment you don't like things, it's all over, then that's not really a marriage. Because of that, we're masmich the money amount that the Torah gives for violation of tum, which is matayim zuz, which is the chamishim shekel in terms of the Torah's valuation. And in fact, some even learn the chazi l'chi midiraita is not a reference to the money that is rightfully yours in the event of divorce. It's a reference to the matbeya that is yours. The kesef that is mentioned in the Torah, which is the kesef that you're right, would be matayim zuz. That's what it's referring to, not the kesef that the Torah said you should get if you get divorced, but what matbeya are we referring to? It's like saying in dollars, USA. So you say in the kesef that is chazir l'chi midoraita. But in any event, all of this is clearly built around the concept of betula. So we'll discuss in a moment. But because of that, all of the other things that we give to a woman that are mentioned in her benefit, which he owes her, or which he owes him, all those financial considerations are included in the Ketuvah, and we add many, many things which would be called Tnaei HaKetuvah, which include health insurance, kidnapping insurance, and things like that. All are part of the Tnaei HaKetuvah, whether they're written or not written, they're automatically included. And, of course, you can add to the amount that is written in the Ketuvah, and in Benet Dunya that she brings in, that we've already seen it so many times, there's Nifsei Maluk, and there's Nifsei Tzon Barzel, things that Azmi gets the right to use, but owes her the guaranteed value of the actual things that she brought, which is Nifsei Tzon Barzel, nothing can affect the value. And then there's Nifsei Maluk, which remain hers, and the production value is his, but he takes no responsibility for the actual Nechassim, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, things that we'll be talking about later. The reason I'm bringing up this issue here is because remarkably and brilliantly, the two issues that are fundamental to the concept of Ketuvah are the issues with which our Masechet begins. So the first issue is the whole idea of the value of a betula, which has become very mitushtash in our times because so few women are betulot and so few women get married at a time that you're going to know the difference between a betula. When marriages were young marriages, so betulim figured very, very strongly in the concept of kiddushin. Because the whole idea of kiddushin, these are the songs that we sing about betulim and the gal no'ul, gal no'ul, mayan chatum, and so on and so forth, which is the sense of that a woman, en isha, Koret et Brit Elohim Misha Asa'a Kili. So the idea is that there's a specific, so to speak, person that this woman is waiting for. So she's like a package wrapped, and the guy who opens the package is more really her husband. We've lost the beauty of that whole idea. And you know, that's okay, marriage is much more loose, but that's indeed a breakdown in the idea of Kiddushin. So Betulin relate directly to the sensitivity of the concept of Kiddushin, because the concept of Kiddushin actually means something that is dedicated for a particular purpose. Betulin themselves literally, physically bring out the idea of Kiddushin, because the moment that there's a violation of the uniqueness of that relationship, it actually shows up physically and can never be restored. And that idea is something that is very, very specific to the nature of Klal Yisrael's relationship to Betulin, which has nothing at all to do with the nations of the world's relationship to Betulin, in which the whole idea over there is people are willing to pay for Betulin, even for a one-night stand. Why? Because the nature of the Betulin is the excitement of the youthfulness and the freshness and the innocence, etc., etc., which is the opposite of the sense of the Kiddushin, because to us the nature of the Betulin is the uniqueness of the relationship and its permanence, so to speak, that this person is waiting for this man. And to the Unais, it's nothing but an expression of that which waits to be taken advantage of, you know, so in China they'll bid, or in Japan they'll bid for a woman's Betulin. So it has nothing to do with any levels of commitment. It's literally, it's become one of the Nekudais that distinguishes Yisrael min ha'amim. And it's in a very powerful, powerful way, which unfortunately has become less and less important to Yisrael because of its breakdown in the world as a whole. So nobody takes Betulin seriously. Since the whole idea of Ketuvot, the concept of a Ketuvah, is based on Betulin, and its extension, and that's the remez in the Mar Betulot, its extension into the nature of the document of the Ketubah is built around the sense that the Chachamim have of the protection of the nature of marriage for a woman. These two things are the subject of the Masechta's opening. First of all, the implications of the meaning of Betulin qua Betulin, which, as we'll see in a moment, are the reason that we're koveya marriage on a particular day of the week, when it used to be that Beis Din was available only on particular days in the week. And that brings us into a whole concept of Shoktu Chachonim al Takanot Benot Yisrael. That is the centerpiece of the Ketuvah. And the importance of Betulim is an indication of the Shmira of the uniqueness of the relationship, which begins with Erusin. Again, a complete breakdown has occurred in this. So it used to be that it was a year's worth of preparation, which was called Erusin, which the yichud of a woman to a man was gradually built up, and of course was all built around her Betulim. The fact that she remains a virgin, dedicated to, in a year from now, getting married. That the sign of the yichud of that Kiddushin was intact Betulim. And that was the whole point. The two issues come together remarkably in a single Mishnah, in which one idea is that a marriage has to take place at a time where the Betulim will be taken very seriously. One is that when the person is looking forward to his new bride and sensing the special quality of the moment of their first conjunction, because of that, we want him to feel the sense of betrayal very deeply if there are no Betulim. And we want that to lead to a suit invested, which if it doesn't happen immediately, when he's all farkocht about this and worried about it, we want to be able to be mevayer, and this is part of our desire to increase the value of Betulin, that since in a rare case, and it's in a very rare case, that finding is going to have any kind of implication for the marriage. No, mele shenaksum, what are you going to find? Now what? You're going to use that as a sign that she must have slept with somebody else. Now, who knows? Maybe she lost her Betulim. I mean, she fell on her bicycle as a kid. Do I know? If she lost her Betulim, she slept with somebody before she was married to you. You know what? What's the big deal? We're not going to usually find, it's going to, we'll see in the Gemara, take very special cases where not having Betulim is going to be really important to us. But as Rashi says, there's always the possibility that in the case where the guy goes to bed, then maybe Aiden will say, look, we didn't want to tell you, but, you know, we have seen her fooling around with such and such a guy, etc., that we'll be able to know if she's asura on him or not, which will, of course, change all of this for yudim to her and remove her rights to the ketubah, and so on and so forth. So, okay, so we were koveya. My personal sense of the old structure of this is that that is done in order to increase the value of betulim, which in turn increases the value of kedushin, which in turn is part of the shaktu, which is the other piece of the Mishnah. That is, we are koveya marriage bedafka at a day which is capable of coming to Beit Din, but which ought to include a Sunday, since Beit Din is Yoshev and Sheni v'Chamishi, and yet we do not allow you to get married on a Sunday, lechatchila. Never on a Sunday. And why is that? The only reason for that is because we don't want you to make a wedding after Shabbos, because you won't have enough time to make a nice wedding. There'll be rush. What's wrong with a rush wedding? A woman deserves 3 days of achana for a wedding. So no mele, we were koveha yom revi'i. Once we are koveha yom revi'i for a betulah, we are involved in the whole idea of what can we do to make a marriage more successful and give a woman a sense of specialness during that time. And of course, by doing so, we give a man a beginning of recognizing how much he has to invest in this relationship. So we're koveha for an almana, a wedding on a Thursday. Why is that? Because any other day of the week where she gets married, the guy's going to wake up the next morning and say, well, I'm not going to waste my day of work. I mean, I've got 2 days of work left this week. If they get married on a Thursday, so then when he wakes up late Friday morning, he says, it's Erev Shabbos, we're going to work Erev Shabbos. What the heck? So he stays home Erev Shabbos, which means anyway, he's home for Shabbos. So Mamela, he's got 3 days to celebrate his marriage. And that is, after all, the minimum that she deserves. That's, we've had 3 days of brachos for an almana and so on. And se'uda is its own equivalent of our concept of shepherd brachos for the betulah. That is also yichud over here for the almana, which means that the entirety of our Mishnah revolves around the concept which lies behind ketubah, which is the shoktu chachamim ha'takanot benot Yisrael, because ultimately the very essence of the ketubah is this, and is learned out in the deepest way from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been showcased, kevayachol, in creating a mechanism for the concept of kedushin in the physical development of a woman's body, which is an astonishing idea. And therefore, we have all of the inyanim right up front at the beginning, which is very, very beautiful, and takes into consideration in an extremely profound way all of the things that we need to be aware of at that beginning in the Masechta. That ties it together and makes it something that is astonishing. So, you know what, betulah, okay, so we're beginning with our great presidential. Wonderful. It's not every day that we get that opportunity. Let me tell you. Betulah niseit leyom ha-revi'i ve'almana leyom ha-chamishi. So, a betulah is meant to be married on a Wednesday, and an almana on a Thursday. Why is that? Shepa'amayim b'shabbat batei dinim yoshvim ba'ayarot. There are 2 days normally that we find Beis Din in Yoshev. That is Yom HaShini and Yom HaChamishi. Shibayalo Tadat Betulin Ayamashkim Mevepin.
This would be the night before Wednesday,
would
be Tuesday night?
No. No.
On the day?
No. Yom Revi is on a Wednesday, so that they go to bed on a Lel, on a Wednesday, Lel HaChamishi, and wake up on HaChamishi to go to Beis Din because they're mad. Right. He's mad.
So does it matter before she, doesn't really matter.
No. Well, we will see. We will see what we're taking into consideration in terms of the value of the wedding and so on and so on. Okay. So we want him to be able to be Mashkim Obeiti. Now, obviously, this leaves you in your mind, but what does it have to do with Yom Revi'i? And then say, Parmayim B'Shabbat. So what happened to Yom Rishon? What are you smiling
at? I'm waiting for this to develop.
Ah, you're looking forward to the fun, huh? Okay, so it's clear to anyone who reads the Mishnah, right? It's clear that there's a question hanging. The Mishnah is contradicting itself. It says you're going to have to get married on a Wednesday. Why? Because twice a week. That's a crazy statement. So the first thing that you're worried about is what? In which case the Gemara goes directly, but without your even noticing it, goes directly to the punchline, which Rabbi Yosef quotes Rav Yoram HaShmuel, Why does it say in the Mishnah, now, why can't be what the question is, as Tosfos points out? It would mean, what would be the implications of such a takana? I mean, the Mishnah said why, but okay, Rashi should take it as why, which is all part of the meaningless statement anyway, that the Gemara is going to attack from all sides. So, because since we have in the Mishnah, then in a case where, after having given 12 months for preparation for a marriage, from the time that the husband, who is a husband, not a husband-to-be, because remember, in those days, this again is part of the breakdown. In those days, we gave the entire period of Erusin as a gradually increasing excitement towards a wedding, which today we do not provide. You have all of 30 seconds or so to be Me'ureset, you know, and Areyat Mekudeshet Lin, but the next thing you know is they're already reading the Ksuvah and dragging you into the Chuppah, you know. Very fast engagement. But that's because every wedding is a shotgun wedding, essentially. Exactly. So that the idea nowadays is that the breakdown and the societal breakdown.
The line that we write has no significance.
It could, but it doesn't. In other words, there too, we have eaten away at the meaning even of the Tzayim, and we no longer have any Tzayim. Chassidim have still Tzayim, yeah. So it comes along now, this Mishnah to say, and what if after giving her an advance notice, 12 months passes, and then the no good Nekavachasim doesn't show up? What happens then? So if 12 months pass, and he has not acted on the invitation to the chuppah, so now he is fully responsible for her, and he has to give her parnasa and ochlot bishalot, the ochlot b'truma. If she's a bat yisrael who is marrying a kohen, she starts eating truma at that point, and she starts using his bank account, and he might as well go ahead and bite the bullet at this point. Now, the implication being, yochol. So now comes on Shmuel to say, that's our Mishnah. Yochol idias mandech had b'shabbat. So therefore we should say, okay, it is now his first opportunity to take her to the chuppah. It's a Sunday. Tomorrow morning could be a bezdin. That's why our Mishnah comes to say, no, a Sunday doesn't count. It's never on a Sunday. It would have to be on a Wednesday. Omer of Yosef. Now, Rabbi Yosef was the one who said this over in the name of Rabbi Yonah Shmuel, right? So, Omer of Yosef, oh my God, I don't know, what am I talking about? Or what was Shmuel talking about? Remember, Rabbi Yosef did forget his own learning. So, I mean, this was quoted, Rabbi Yosef, this is what you thought. This is mad, it's insane. Tell me Tanya, but hello Tanya, I understand. How are we being told a Mishnah, which is written in a din that's not written in a Mishnah? Well, guess what are you talking about? These are both Mishnayot. What do you mean? Hai Tanya, hai Lo Tanya, Ha Tanya, Ha Tanya. Both of these things are in Mishnah. It's very reasonable what Shmuel said. He said that the reason that it says is because you would have thought that the Mishnah of Ochlot Mishalo would apply even to a Yom Rishon. So what's wrong with that? No, I mean Tali Tanya de Mefarish Taima. Look, the Mishnah here has an explanation built into it, right? Because Bamayim B'Shabbat, Batidinim Yashvin, etc., etc. And now it's saying, and why? Because it says, yeah, B'Tanya D'Lo Mefarish Taima. Does it say over there any additional material? I don't understand what you're saying. Does it say, Ochlot Mishalo except on a Sunday? Does it explain why a Sunday is different? Not at all. So there's no added information. How can you possibly say a Mishnah that's coming to discuss the reason for a thing is written in order, yes, to accommodate the Mishnah over there, which doesn't say a word about the questions of Sundays or Wednesdays or anything else. So what in the world was I thinking? What is it adding? It must be, therefore, Eli Yidma Alfi Yidma. What the quote was must go like this. Honor of Yidma Mishnah. Okay, that is as the Mishnah implies. Because since there's a Bezdar on Yom Chamishi, so if Ayalot HaNat Betulim on Leil Chamishi, we don't want him to, you know, okay, fine, I'll accept a wife who isn't a Betula, what's the big deal, which is a violation of the uniqueness of the Kiddushah. And therefore, we want him to still be kvetching. So, ima yavo tanat betulim, haya mashkim lo beitin. Fine, that's a given. Now,
the violation is his not wanting to change, you not wanting to do anything about it, or
no,
the case is that he has a kashana.
The case is right. The beauty, again, of the entire idea is the Torah's focus on betulim as being part of kiddushin, which is an amazing, amazing idea. The fact that biologically there should be a sense of uniqueness of a particular woman to a man who is a sa'akali, and that is the koretet brit, and that becomes the nature of kiddushin, is an astonishing, astonishing relationship of an idea to a physical actuality, which is a pella. And so we want to make that more meaningful than has become today nebach, in which it means nothing. So he, therefore, the Mishnah wants bedavka for you to take betulim very seriously. Fine. So now comes along Shmuel to clarify. And how does the Mishnah expect us to understand the fact that pamayim b'shabbat otur hud something? So v'tina sebechad b'shabbat shim ayalo tanat betulim haya mashkim lebeitin. Ah, that is the idea that lies behind the whole ketuvah anyway, which is that shaktu chachamim atakanat benot Yisrael. So another element of the shaktu, we want you to be toreach b'seudah shlosha yamim, echad b'shabbat, sheni b'shabbat, shlishi b'shabbat. But this itself would not be enough of a reason to get married on a Yom Revi'i, on its own, because first of all, why would that be koveya on Yom Revi'i? And it's also not enough to put off a wedding. Put off a wedding. We try not to put off a wedding, so you have less of a wedding. But since we have already the takana of the hashkam and the beitin, and the only alternative would have been only Sunday. Only Sunday. It's not even a whole day to prepare for a wedding yet. Mamela, we're going to put it off. So let's already make it shlosha yomim to have a really high-class wedding. So your toreach shlishi. So Risha, Cheney, Vishlishi. Ravid, does it sound familiar? Yes, indeed. Ayunichonim, Lishloshet, Yamin. Uber Ravid, Konsan. So now, your Kodeser. Hayakshav, Shashaninu, Shakdu. Now that we say, and this is a continuation, I mean, this is what I want to ask. The implications of this Mishnah are, what are the Ta'amim? What are the additional implications? I point out, says Shmuel, the additional implications would be that now the Mishnah that says, Igiyaz man v'lo nisu ochlot mishlo v'ochlot b'shuma, would now be directly impacted by our Mishnah. Because now I know that if Igiyaz man v'echad b'shabbat, it won't count. Because he really cannot be kones on echad b'shabbat, because the chachamim were shoktu. So part of that shoktu, now remember, that part of shoktu was to give her a very powerful legal tool to force the guy to show up to the wedding and not to keep her hanging, which, as we know, has become a modern mahala in which people can't commit and keep people hanging, go out for years and never act on it. Over here, she says, okay, fine, you're not ready to get married, that's okay, give me a credit card. Well, all right, that's pretty strong motivation to get married.
In fact,
take
your time.
Well, that's the dilemma. We've got both sides taken care of, you see. So therefore, she's okolot mishalah, and she would be okolot b'truma, but that wouldn't apply because of the shoktu for on a Sunday. And if he has man b'chad b'shabbat, mitok she'no yochol lichnos, eno ma'ala l'mezonot. I wish to add, says Rav Yosef, now that I have figured out what I was saying, and I'm quoting properly Shmuel, I wish to add that that has further implications for other events that may have inadvertently put off the wedding. How about he gets sick? Oh, he can't come to the wedding with pneumonia. Or she gets sick. So call Ahu, or she call Tahi, or maybe she becomes Anita, and we'll see that we're talking about an unusual circumstance, not a normal period. So then, that's not his fault, and Eno Ma'alela Mizonot. So this becomes the first statement, which by examining Shmuel's Maimer, we have come to discover the relationship, first of all, to an additional underlying concept, which is Shaktu. That shoktu will end up being so central to our Mishnah that it explains both the Yom Revi'i of the Betulah and the Yom HaKamishi of the Almanah, who is getting married on Yom Chamishi, as we said, as we're going to find out, as we said in the introduction, in order to make sure that her husband doesn't go to work the next morning, because he figures, ah, it's late and it's an Erev Shabbos, what the heck. So she'll definitely get 3 days, which he's willing to concentrate on his new wife. And that lies behind the entire takana in the first place. We now begin to get a grasp of the very complex, interwoven sense that is given to her and that is given to him, and the responsibility that has essentially begun at birth, or really at age 3, because before age 3, and this is the reason that we do not, because this is an astonishing idea that the Gemara has, that before age 3 there's no real intercourse, because there are no genitals. And again, in Klal Yisrael, you need genitals for intercourse, believe it or not. Goyim haven't figured that out. So as far as they're concerned, broom handles are sodomy, you know. But we managed to note the difference between proper genitals and broom handles on both the male and female side, which is sort of a brilliant insight, which is amazing that Western civilization hasn't figured out. But in any event, having discovered that there are such things as genitals that are part of sex, having made that remarkable discovery, we have also remarked upon the fact that before age 3, the fact that betulim will reform and regrow is itself an indication that we do not view those genitals as being functional because they're not capable of kedushin. It's unbelievable. So now the kedushin themselves and the idea of yichud for a particular person becomes built into the biological construct, which allows the nature of the shiur of Bia Bichlal, in which case now Bia is actually defined by Kiddushin. So they all become interwoven concepts. Quite amazing. So, therefore, the idea revolves around the Betulim. And I say that we can actually derive whether this is something that allows for force majeure. It's an act of God. She came out with pneumonia, and therefore, whatever. On the other hand, that's not so simple. And there is indeed another lashon, as the Gemara says, there's someone who asks this as a question. What would be the din if he gets sick? He gets sick. Now, wait a minute. Chalahu ma'u. Remember, when we say that if the wedding comes out 12 months later, falls on a Sunday, that doesn't count, and you only start with the credit card on the following Wednesday if he doesn't show up. So then, perhaps it's because, time of mind, do we say, look, the bottom line is, he doesn't give his credit card to her because it's not his fault. So, what can he do? He's got pneumonia. Oh, the Oma, or maybe there's a tremendous difference. Because in the case where it is specifically an ones, that is not just a general ones. He is an ones bitakanta. Now, there are two girsaot over here, which make a wealth of a difference. One girsa is the way we have it. Bitakanta tetakinu le rabbanan, which the rabbanan were mitakein. No, not shok. If it would have said bitakanta tetakinu la rabbanan, it would be shocked. Takinu le rabbanan means on him. Because of Shakta, but on him. So once the Rabbanan limit him, they cannot include that limitation in the chiyuv of the Shakta, another aspect, which is to give her a credit card. And to give her a legal means of forcing him to marry her. The difference is, if the logic here is, the whole point over here is that we're trying to protect her from having a wedding that is improperly prepared, we can't at the same time be machayev him to give her a credit card when the only reason that he's not allowed to do the wedding is for her benefit. So we're going to blame him for her benefit. That was the idea of the shaktu.
They're not even married yet.
That's the other. They are married.
Okay,
but that's an important thing.
But that's why.
So that would be the gears of the takinu la. It's absolutely inappropriate to take a takana that was against him for her and then use it against him to make him give her a credit card. That's nonsense. Or we could say, no, the point is that it's a takana de rabbana. A takana de rabbana is built into the system. Having made that takana, we have no choice but to make it consistent. So, okay, if we're telling you you can't marry her, we can't say you better marry her or else you'll give her a credit card. That would be silly. Okay, so these are the two gears out. So ha'atam anis betakanta tetakina le rabbanon or tetakinu la rabbanon. But ha'kalo.
Because he's sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't, that's not included.
Okay.
You're sick, that's your problem. You know, you didn't show. You want to make sure you don't get sick, then show a month earlier. Now this is, I mean, it's your muscle. If you want to tell me, well, indeed, if he gets sick, it's his problem. But if she gets sick, can he say to her, hey, wait a minute, now hold on a second, what kind of credit card? I'm here. You want to get married? Show up to the wedding. I can't even say I do. Well, he'll say to her, or perhaps she could say to him that it's your bad luck.
That she got sick.
That's correct, because I was your wife, meant to be your wife, at our wedding tonight, and it's because of your no-goodnik mazel that I got sick. And therefore,
the raya that they are indeed married.
First argument is beginning
of the That's right.
Now I'm still waiting for Shak doing two bishvat. Where are you?
Well, he has. Yeah, what happened to Shak? And if you're going to tell me she can say to him that this is all your mazel, so how about if she becomes a nida? Now that's already straight. Your mazel, but I'm a nida. That would be difficult, but you never know. So here's a nida bahu. So okay, we're not crazy enough to suggest that b'sha'at v'stam, she's had this period for the past 15 years, you know, now she's going to blame it on him. God forsaw. That we're not asking. Because over there, she can't say nistapcha sadeo. But how about if she's pirsanida in an unusual way, which is against her normal period, and she says to him, well, obviously this is your mazel. I never am pareset nida on this day. So therefore, kiti bailocha shelo b'shat v'stam, my, kivan delo b'shat v'stam havya, matzi amrle nistapcha sadehu. Or do we say, look, I mean, you know, a period is not absolutely reliable. This is part of Vetzet. Vetzet takes into consideration some element of chaotic behavior, and that's part of being a woman. And therefore, it's considered to be the equivalent to Kikshat Vesta Dummy. Fine, comes along Rav Acha, and he says, I have a raya from the Lashon of the Mishnah, where it says after telling us that we give the Betula 12 months, that if the Diazman of those 12 months after he tells her he's ready to take her to the Chuppah, Volonizu, and they don't get married, Ocholot Mishalo Ocholot Betruma. Now notice that strange grammar, Lo Nisu. What does it say, Lo Nisu? Shouldn't it say, Lo Nasu? He did not act to make the marriage happen. Lo Nisu implies, well, it just worked out that way. And they didn't get married.
They as opposed to he?
The event didn't take place. Lo Nisu, even including some strange Midat Shabayim event. Lo Nisu. It's passive. Nobody acted. Lo Nisu. But it doesn't say, Lo Nasu now, does it? Lo Nasu Lo Katani. Ela Lo Nisu. Now, what does that mean to you? Echidami. I mean, either kama akvin inhi. It can't mean they didn't get married because she says, I refuse to get married. I mean, that's crazy. Why would she get a credit card for refusing to get married? It can't be that she's actively against getting married. So they didn't have yet that concept of entitlement in which you do whatever you want and nonetheless get a credit card. Not yet. Ella love. The case must be that indeed it was an ones like we've just described. Kihai Gavna. It happened that they couldn't get married. She had pneumonia, whatever, you know. And nonetheless, it says, Ochlot Bishalov, Ochlot Bishuma. So that one little difference makes the difference, La Halacha. A little yud can spell a credit card. Tough. Omer Rashi, Li Ola Meimalach, I could still claim to you that this is no riot. I could say, any onus at all is not his fault. Lo Ochlot. And it's only the Kadama Akve Inu. Ubedinu, the Boilamita Lo Nasu. You're 100% right. It should grammatically say Lo Nasu. However, note that the entire construction of this Mishnah is built around Notnim, Lebitula, Shema Zachodesh, etc., etc. So the focus was on her, right, from the beginning of the Mishnah. In which case, I also want to keep it simply parallel grammatically, which I always do. So since I did it, the Reisha Bididi, the Reisha of the Mishnah focuses on Notnim Lebitula Shema Sarchoyesh. It's focused on her. Lo Nisu, if that Bitula was not ending up married. So Tadinami Sefer Bididi, but that doesn't mean that any an old type of ikuv that has nothing to do with him is also going to be Mazakar with a credit card. Obviously, it doesn't mean if she says, I refuse to get married, I mean, you've agreed to that. Okay, I mean, why not? It's lo nisu. But that's the point. So we're using the language that is consistently about her. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
So the language of nisu is...
about her.
She's not married.
Okay, but it's not talking about why she's not married. So it could well be that this is why she's not married. So we'll see you tonight at 5. Get that barbecue ready.
Yep.
Very good.
Stop it.
Omar Rava. Says Rava, okay, now this may be true, that we have established, at least in the initial understanding of Rabbi Yosef, and we haven't found anything to indicate otherwise in the Zika de Amri, that an ones is not considered to be mechayev. So he can say, look, it's not my fault, I don't want to give her a credit card, it's not fair, and fine. That's an acceptable taina. But when it comes to a get, it's always good to have the refuah kod malamaka. When it comes to a get, it doesn't work that way. Eino ken, and in the event that a get is given on condition, and then the condition is fulfilled through an act that's not his own fault. So let's say he says, okay, this is your get. If I don't get back in 30 days from my business trip, I know what you're thinking I'm really doing. But no, it's all in order to make you money. I'm just in Hong Kong for money. And if I don't come back at the end of 30 days, then here is your get.
It means a bit shy.
Mm-hmm. That was bad. Why did you wait until he left?
Why did he leave so early?
Is that an ikuv mimenu? So what would that mean? Alma kasava rava, ain't on his begittens. The guy says, if I don't come back in 30 days, and he gets pneumonia and he's in the hospital and there's no possible way. There's an airline strike or a volcano that prevents the airline, whatever.
Well, the ferry's not there.
There you go. It's completely out of his hands. And nonetheless, Rava says, tough. We didn't get nain okay. Alma kasava rava, ain't on his begittens. So apparently Rava takes for granted, when it comes to Gittin, we don't give him the chance to say, well, this wasn't my fault. But when it comes to the Ketubah, we do say, this isn't my fault, and I'm not giving her a credit card. How does Rava know that ain't on his spaghetti? So we know the Rava. Is it because of the Mishnah that says, Hareze Gitechim Obat Mikan Vachim Ezer Chodesh? This is your get. If I don't show up in the next 12 months, and he died in the next 12 months, and remarkably, he didn't get there at the end of the 12 months, which you'd say is certainly considered to be an ones of the first order, since people seem to have a very difficult time avoiding this. And nonetheless, halacha is it's not a get, right? Now, why in the world would we take a case where a guy died to express, I mean, that is the ultimate ones. So we say, all right, so then it's not a get because it's an ones. I'll tell you why we take the ultimate ones, which is silly. We could take an ones out of him. What if he caught pneumonia? I mean, if he died. Because it's only the case where he died that it's not a get. Not because it's an ones, but because a mate cannot give a get. And since the time that the get was supposed to be chal, he's no longer alive, he can't possibly issue that get. But in terms of the din of ones, the condition has indeed been fulfilled. And therefore, if it was just that I had pneumonia, he can't say, well, I said if I wouldn't get back, that didn't include if I wouldn't get back in an airline strike, or if I wouldn't get back if I had pneumonia. It does include that. And that's Rava's deal. Then it would be considered to be gate, and it would be the fulfillment of the condition of not getting back. Well, it's a nice deal, but it's hardly persuasive. Because Dilma Liyolam Emelot, maybe the point is indeed that any ones would be fulfilling the Tanai. And indeed, it wouldn't have been a get, even if he caught pneumonia or there was an airline strike. The reason that it says the case of mate is not for the deal to say, but if it had been something else. That's not the point. It's igufaka mashmalan. Maybe what it's telling me is dafka, that indeed, if it would be if it would be anything less like pneumonia, it would be a get, but rather it would be to tell you that under any and all circumstances, if the guy would be mate with a get, with a tonight or without a tonight, even if he said automatically it's yours in 12 months, ein get via karmita, and maybe that's the point. Oh, come off it, that's the point. Ein get la karmita, that was the first point of that same Mishnah. Without any involvement of conditions, why would I turn it into a condition, if that's the point? It says in the Reisha Beferish. Now, Reisha Giteh, this is talking about a Shchiv Merah. The guy feels he's going to die, he's not going to make it, he wants to give a get to avoid his wife marrying his idiot brother. So he says, Reisha Giteh Imati. Reisha Giteh Micholi Zeh, without saying the nasty words, if I don't ever get up from this illness. Or he says, after I die, in all of these cases, lo omar klum. So we already know that you can't give a get that will be chali achar mita. So what would be the silly purpose of making it the indication of the tznai? If I make a condition, I mean, you want to talk about conditions, talk about a reasonable condition. Pneumonia? When you involve something that has nothing to do with the condition, it's because you can't have a get. Ah, because maybe that's the point. There is a Tana that we call Rabotenu that says Verabotenu iti ruli nasei. The Rabotenu say that she can get married even in that case. And what is the reason for that? Well, at the moment you understand who Rabotenu are, you will understand the reason. Man Rabotenu, Om Rabbi Yonah Shmuel, it's the Beidinu de Shoru Mashra. It's that same conservative business that says you're allowed to rely on Rabbi Ralbag and have eat those cookies and the chocolate that Aryeh brings to us every Shabbos over Ralbag's after. And it's okay to eat the Shemen of Ovdei Kochavim, which was a whole issue at the time. And they were also matter this apparent case of a get le'achar mita, and the reason is because Sovelik Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says there is a reason that a gate is dated.
So if you live in the Sia, it was in Sipari, Rav Yossi was the Mardas of Sipari.
It all works out.
Make that connection
for me. Oh, there you go.
How do you like that? And it was indeed in Barnea's neighborhood, Lamafreya. That's lovely. So Sravalak Rav Yossi, the Omer Zmanos Roshtar Muchiach Alav, there's a reason why there's a date. Why is there a date that is 12 months prior to the time that the get's going to be chal, if he meant that the get would be chal in 12 months? So obviously the meaning of the date is that the get is meant to be chal retroactively if conditions are fulfilled. So this is your get today if you get me $500,000. This is the get today if I don't come back from Hong Kong, whatever the case may be. So therefore, according to Rabotenu, who is really Rav Yossi, that the Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav, that would tell us that it would be a get. And therefore, we need to put in this additional halacha of Ein Get Le'achar Mita. Okay. Now let me save. All right? Fine. You say we couldn't derive from the Reisha. And the Seifa could be a writer. Me'akshav, im lo bati mikan vat shlema sar chodesh, umet betok shlema sar chodesh, harei ze get. How about, let's avoid the ein get liachar mita. The guy says befares me'akshav, which would mean that the get is from today. Now that's not a function of Rabotenu. Everybody then agrees that he said beferush, that the get should be called from today. Then if he died within those 12 months, which is a rather serious ones, and he doesn't show up for some reason at the end of the 12 months, then the get was retroactively called. Now, that implies that an ones along the lines of dying, so that would be mate, and I'm assuming, says Rava, that the same thing would be true if he had pneumonia. He couldn't show up. No, wait. That's one heck of a jump, Rava. I mean, Dilma mate Dafka. I mean, there is a difference. The difference is that the whole point of the get, we could assume. Why did he want her to have a get? Because he did not want her to fall to Yibum. And he was afraid they'd come back with witnesses that he died, which is why he never came back. And then she's going to fall to that rotten brother of his, no good neck. And so he, Bedavka, wants to get the Bichal retroactively in the event that he dies. But that's Davka if he dies. He certainly did not intend to get rid of his dearly beloved wife just because he had pneumonia and was a week late. So maybe Davka. So that wouldn't be very much of a good raya for Rava, now would it? Elamiha, it's from the famous case of the airline cancellation. If I don't get there within 30 days, it should be a get. He gets there, Besof Tlatin Yuma, arrives just in time for the flight, and they cancel the flight. He calls ahead to the Edom and he says, listen, I'm basically home, except that they cancel the flight. So I'll make it tomorrow, but don't give her that get. In this case, Paske Mavre, there was no ferry boat. It was supposed to be there, it was right there on the schedule, Eged Beferish. The next Eged ferry boat goes out at such and such a time. Who ever heard of an Eged schedule not being kept? And behold, an amazing thing, the ferry boat was on the wrong side of the river. So he shouts, even without a telephone, he shouts, hello, Edom, it's me, hi, I have returned. You see, it's me. I'm not sure. You didn't return. Lab Shme Matya. So you see that an ones is not considered. I mean, what are you supposed to do about a ferry boat? And therefore, you see that an ones, when it comes to getting, doesn't count. It's your tough luck. Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, how crazy are you to believe that an Eged ferry boat is going to be in there on time? That's your own problem. The normal type of ones, I mean, that's different. There's a difference between a ferry boat not being there on time and coming down with pneumonia. One is to be expected and the other one isn't. And therefore, you should have taken into consideration as part of your planning, and you should have said that if I don't come, but excluding if the ferry boat's on the wrong side of the river or cancellations of flights, etc., etc. And that way, yeah, obviously. You can't just say, well, it's not my fault. Of course it's your fault. So maybe Dilma and Sharifa Shiner. To keep in the boiler, look, he should have included that in the conditions, as exceptions to the conditions. And he didn't. Look, it's his own problem for not getting a decent lawyer. He could have come to our Daf Yomi and spoken to Benson. And therefore, this would not be much of a raya. And therefore, tomorrow we will come to discover that Rav actually thought this up on his own. אוכלות משלו ואוכלות בתרומה, יאכל הגיע הזמן באחד בשבת, יהיה מעלה למזונות. וכך שנינו בתולה ניסית ליום הרביעי, אמר רבי הזה, what the heck am I talking about? מורד אברום, תולי תניה ולא תניה. Wait, רבי הזה. היי תניה והי לא תניה. או תניה ואו תניה. No, I mean, Toli Tanya, the first timer, in the Mishnah, doesn't say anything about the Tan, but Tanya, the first timer. The same thing there about Sundays. Eliit mar hochit. Vam revira mashmo mipnei ma amru betula niset liyom harevi davka. Shimayal obtanat betudim haya mashkim lebeitin. You obviously ask yourself, but tinasei bechad b'shabbat. In which case, shimayal obtanat betulim haya mashkim lebeitin. There's a reason for that. Which is that shaktu chachamim atakanat benot Yisrael, sheyatoleach besuda shloshe yamim, echad b'shabbat, shirim b'shabbat, shlishi b'shabbat, u'brevi'i kotza. Now that is true, continues Shmuel, akshav sheshaninu shagdu, then, ota sheshaninu igyaz man velo nisu, achlot mishlo v'achlot b'chuma, is directly impacted by this Mishnah. Because he gives man the echad b'shabbat mitok sheni yochol lichmos eno ma'ala l'mezonot. And I wish to add, says Rabbi Yosef, now that I finally understand what I said, l'ficha chala hu shechalta yi o shipper sanida eno ma'ala l'mezonot. Actually, there was someone just straight out asked the question. He could have bought a levy boy. Chala hu ma'u. I mean, maybe the idea over there of Shmuel was time of mind, mishum the onis, and therefore the onis, whatever the reason is. Oh, Dilma, hatam onis betakanta de takino either lay or de takino laravana, which of course would make a difference in the logic of the question. How could low? Ve'im kim tzalomer. If you want to go all the way to say that if it's his fault, the chol who he would still need to be ma'alel ha'mezonot, because that's not her problem. How about if chalta yi ma'hu? Maybe that is her problem. Motzi omar la. Perhaps he can say, well, come to the chuppah, my dearest. It's obviously your bad luck that I have pneumonia. And nistavcha sadeu. V'im tim tzalomar, she could say nistavcha sadeu. Could she even say that in the event that she was pirsah nidah? Obviously, b'shat v'estah, she can't possibly claim it's all your fault. There lo tibayelacha, delo matzi amrele. How about in a case, however, kitibaylecha shelo b'sha'at festa? My, do we say that given the shelo b'sha'at festa, havia matzi amrela listavcha sadeu? This never happened to me before I met you, you slob. O Dilma, given to ikanashi to kamashani vestayu, part of a veset is erratic behavior, and therefore it would still be included in kisha'at vestadani. Parshit Ravachoi, from the language of the very Mishnah that Shmuel quoted. Note, lo nasu, lo katani, lo nisu. Now, what does that mean? Passive. Ah, evidami. Akvin ini actively, that's not lo nisu. And why would we be okot bishalav okot b'tshuva? That's crazy. El alav, it must be coming to include these cases. The niskiyai gavna. And she could still say, I want a credit card. Okot bishalav okot b'tshuva. Om ravashi, not necessarily. Because the olam emelecha, perhaps kol unsa. Doesn't matter. Any onus at all is lo achla. But, I mean, that's talking about kama akve inu. And bedinu di boyle mitne. But since in the ratio talked about herself, Tananami Sefa Bididhi, but it doesn't really mean cases Bididhi. Omar Rabba, leaning Gittin, it's absolutely not like that at all. And an ones is not an excuse. Alma Kasova Rabba ain't ones Begitin. Where would he get that from? So you see, Rava says, why would the Mishnah specifically take a case of a Tznai where he died, and it's only that, therefore, that it's Eino Get for a completely different reason. It's Eino Get because of the fact that Ein Get L'Achar Mitah. But Chola would have been a Get, because otherwise it should have told us Chola. No, I mean, but perhaps that's the whole point. He go for kamashvelan. That ain't get leachamita under any and all circumstances. Ain't get leachamita. That's the point of the Mishnah from the beginning. Atanalei reisha. Areze gitech imati. Areze gitech michovize. Areze gitech leachamita. Lo amar klum. Okay, but we might want to say this case, lafukim in rabotenu, because since it says over there, the Tanya, v'rabotenu hiti ru'alina say, v'amrina man rabotenu, v'hir b'shmo bedina d'shoru mashcha, their logic being, savalak Rav Yosef, demer z'mano sh'shtar mochiach alav, so therefore the Mishnah continues, you should know that we are not chayish for that. And no matter what it was, ain't get liachamita, and therefore, even if he said the case of the get where he's not going to come shnemes chodesh, and the date is today, not 12 months later, it doesn't matter. Okay, fine. So maybe the raya Rava was looking to save miachshav im lo bati mikan v'shnemes chodesh umet tok shnemes chodesh. That's a pretty darn big onus. And it says that nonetheless are raising gate, which mean any ones, even the maximum ones. Why didn't lechola? Oh, well, now wait a minute. I mean, dima meidavka, because he took into consideration that ones he certainly meant to include, because the point of this whole exercise is the nefle de loti pokama yava. Okay, fine. How about from this case? Mihai. Tehudi amalo iloatina mikan vatlatin yumel avigita. And there he shows up, Besof Tlatin Yuma, Upaski Mavra, and he's shouting from the other side of the shore, "Gentlemen, don't give her that get! I am home! Chazudatoy, chazudatoy." Amar Shmuel, "No, he didn't. Lav Shmei Mati, that's not called coming." "Yeah, but that's not a riot, because Dima Unsa de Shkiach Shiny. Because given the Boile Lats New Year, that of course this does not include cancelled flights or other acts of God." Veloa, so you would have seen a napshe. Okay, Rabbi Say. Good morning, you should begin. So we begin now a new Masechet, Masechet Ketuvot, also known as Shas Katan. So many sugars, that's what it's called in Mishnah. It has so many sugars in it, so tremendous opportunity to get a broad view of various elements in Shas. The question, of course, is what is it doing here? It's the Pash to see what it's talking. We finally get to Kiddushin. I mean, you can say that Yevamos comes first, as the Rambam says, that anything that is essential, not up to you, always comes before those things which are up to you. He uses that as a principle of organization in Mishnah Torah as well. But, I mean, Kiddushin would be nice. Some can just say that this is a continuation of the last Sugya Yevamos. The last Sugya Yevamos, which we haven't, we've actually gotten up to, we didn't read it because we saved it, but has to do with the relationship of the Ksuva to the need for Grisha Chakira, whether it's in terms of Dini Momenus, in terms of Dini Harayas, maybe it's a continuation, which is rather weak, but it's used, you know, a lot of times, this kind of weak, not looking at the fundamental structure and thinking that that itself is coincidental, but obviously that's not coincidental, so that the flow, there's always a flow, we've noticed the flow literally from one Mishnah to the Gemara prior to a Mishnah to the Mishnah, and after the Kach, the flow is adjusted in Shas. But Lamaisa, it's going to turn out, as we'll see, that the Inyan of the Ksuv is itself a fundamental insight into the nature of marriage, the whole takana of ksuva. And the truth is, when I say takana, I mean there is something of a machlokes about whether ksuva is diraisa or ksuva is derabanan. But lemaisa, even if it's a diraisa, it's only merumas and the teirim based on the idea of mohar haptulot. It's clearly a concept which comes into play in cases of rape or seduction, which is a din of mohar haptulot. To give what was due to a virgin for her virginity. So when that, certainly in almana, who is not a basil, that everybody agrees is a drabonin. But even if it's diorita, the pashta says that there's a need for a takana drabonin to implement the idea of mara betulot as a given in marriage. So bichlav, the takana is obviously a very ancient takana, because we find it way, way before the Gemara talk. We'll see later on, we talk about what how it used to be, the minhag of ksuvah, that was way before the beginning of the time of the Shas even. So there clearly was always a hanhaga of ksuvah. But the main function of ksuva is that it redefines the essence of marriage. Because what the Chachamim say later on, we'll see, is that anybody who is even writes a ksuva, but who gives less than the shear that the Chachamim defined as necessary to give in ksuva, it's bi'ilato bi'ilat zmut. So in other words, kiddushin itself is insufficient to create the nature of marriage, according to the Chachamim. Even though in terms of kinyanim, it creates the kinyanim that are necessary, and the chiyav misa that's associated with marriage. But that the nature of marriage requires a sense of committed relationship, which is not necessarily inherent in kiddushin. Because when it comes to kiddushin, you have the element of sanctification and the yichud, but you don't have anything there that prevents an immediate gerushin. Which means that a formalized relationship is not sufficient to distinguish between znus and non-znus. So you don't have a formalized relationship. And nonetheless, there's elements of it which are znut-oriented. And the idea of znut is that it's free love. The idea of free love is that it's up to you, on today, off tomorrow. But if that's true, you can do that with kedushin of gerushin. Because the gerushin, being up to the baal, becomes now a way in which he could take a woman, get her acquiescence to a relationship, and then be mevatel to the relationship whenever he wishes. So then it's basically glorified znut. Come along to Chachamim and say that it has to cost you to have the relationship ended. Once it costs you, then there's a level of commitment in which it's not up to you. Because if you're going to be Megarasher, you're going to pay. You're going to pay heavy. To the extent that the relationship now takes up your life. We'll see that gradually the elements of the Ksuva became broader and broader, and the ability to collect became more and more well-based. So that the ideas of the Ksuva extended way beyond simply the Mar of Tulot, which was the initial idea of the Ketuvah, but became also a list of, even if it's not articulated in the Ketuvah per se in the Shtar, a list of predetermined, unless you specifically say otherwise, predetermined prenuptial understandings about who is chai of what in exchange for what. So this is looked at as a very Pharisee, was always looked at, you know, for the Jews, the marriage is just a bunch of business. But in fact, it's a very profound recognition of the way that relationships are either commitments or they end up foundering. So that nowadays, where people are so careful to write prenuptial agreements, I mean, they're just finally discovering the idea of the ksuva. So the ksuva incorporates ideas as contemporary as medical insurance that's been provided for a woman, insurance against kidnapping, question of who pays for her burial expenses, what rights she's going to have if she marries somebody else and still has children from him, child support, what happens to the things that she owned when she brought it into the marriage, where we've seen are defined in two separate ways, nichsin alug, nichsin tzombaz, all the issues that we're going to talk about later. And because it's so complex, it's so broad, it comes to extend over the entirety of the relationship. So it talks about, you know, her income and his income, separate bank accounts, what it is that he's responsible to provide her and so on, which is an immense, immense requirement for understanding the nature of Kiddushin anyways. It comes out that Ketuvot, in a sense, is more of a backdrop for marriage than even Kiddushin is. Kiddushin is sort of the end of the Ketuvah process, in a way. Even though, and it's important to stress this, there is no chiyuv of the ketuvah together with kiddushin. There's only a chiyuv of the ketuvah together with nisuin. And you can give a ketuvah with kiddushin. There's not a chiyuv to give a ketuvah because kiddushin, the way that we work it out, is that the rabbanim assert sleeping with a woman as a result of kiddushin. Even though miyikra didn't, someone who is mekadesh abish is now allowed to sleep with her. But the rabbanim were koveya that you have to first act in a more formal and proper fashion by being machnes on the Torah Beitcha, which we call chuppah, or kazva chok, so we'll see later on what exactly consists of. What is the chuppah? Is it the yichud? Is it the kizal abayit? Is there all kinds of nogea, the issue of whether it'll be kosher for nida, is it chuppah for nida chal, ultimately or not? Is it an issue of yichud with a nida? It wouldn't be, but with actually some on our daf is even remozim to that sugya. But remember to keep in mind that there were always two separate stages, which nowadays we compress. The two separate stages were initially that there was a kiddushin, which we call also erusin, and that we learn now that we have the three different ways of making kiddushin, the kesef shtar bebia, which we'll get to the service kiddushin, of course. And then there was sometimes a long period between the kiddushin and the final determination to marry. Once that determination is made and the chatan notifies the kala that he's ready now for marriage, then there's 12 months that's given the woman to prepare for the chasana. And there's also a chiyuv that he has to take her within 12 months of that notification. After that, if he doesn't, there's an automatic kick-in of son of the yonim of the ksuva, which means that he immediately becomes responsible. The day that he doesn't take her at the end of the 12-month period, he becomes responsible for various things, including her parnasa. Because that's not going to help him to put off the marriage. So he's going to now start paying anyway.
He knows no ksuva yet.
That's right. So this is now important in terms of our opening sugya, all that this last piece, because we're going to begin with the concern that we have for the time between the erusin and the nisui. And one of the main concerns that we have is that during that period, and this is the reason that we stopped this, during that period she's a real eshatish, despite the fact that she's not supposed to be sleeping with her chasam. But she's a real eshatish, then if she sleeps with anybody else, we have serious problems, because then she could assert herself on him. So besides the monetary issues of that he assumed he was getting a virgin, it turns out that he doesn't, if Lamaisa turns out that she was Mizana, so she's Asura, you can see why we would want to compress that time as people get more and more lax about elements of Zanus. It becomes more and more dangerous to have a long period between the Erisin and the Kedushin. People look at Erisin, well, it's like an engagement, but it's not like an engagement. It's actually marriage that requires a further formalization. So because of that, we go directly from Kiddushin to Nisuin. We stand under the chuppah. We make the Kiddushin right on the spot. So there's no time for her to be Mizana, although Klal Yisrael, as the Medrash points out, managed anyway. Aluva Kala Shemizana Tachat Chupata, right there under Har Sinai, we're already managed to find somebody to make out with. That's why it was considered to be such a tremendous pegam in Kabbalah Satera. But we assume that, generally speaking, we don't have any concern. The difference will be nogei immediately the opening Mishnah, the difference between our minhag and the minhag that they had at the time. Because if we need to worry about the fact that she might have been Mizana, therefore Asa herself, We need to make certain that in the case that he expected to find the betula and doesn't, that he's going to find out what happened. The only way to find out what happened is by bringing action in Beis Din, which will then go around. We'll see if we find Aiden. Maybe she wasn't dishonored. We'll ask, we'll question her, so on and so forth. And that way, he won't end up living his whole life with a woman who's asura, which would be terrible. So therefore, we made a takana that marriages should always take place on a day, which is the day before there is a Beis Din. Now, we know that Ezra was mitakena, there should be a Beis Din always on the Sheni V'chamishi. And so, we need to have a marriage the day before, specifically the day before, not the night before, because if it starts at the night, there's bound to be enough problems to delay the wedding till the kala and the chassid are too tired to even sleep together. By the time they finish at 3 o'clock in the morning, all they want to do is go to sleep. And therefore, we need to have a marriage in the daytime. The marriage in the daytime, during the night, we assume that they'll manage to get together. At that point, he'll find out whether she's a betula. And since there's a Beis Din open the next morning, if he's really upset by what's going on, so he'll go to Beis Din to find out. But if we give him more time, yeah, well, he's likely to cool down. She's a pretty good girl anyway. You know, it's probably a little premarital sex, but it isn't premarital. That's the problem. So in the mail, in order to avoid his cooling off from this issue, making sure that we discover what the halacha would be, so we were koveya a day for marriage. That's the day before a yeshiva of Beis Din. Because of that, we don't have any of this. In other words, because this hakpada is no longer relevant, really. So bizman hazeh, it turns out, for two reasons. I mean, first of all, we don't have Yesheni v'chamishi, we have Beis Din Yosha b'chol yom, and therefore the Mishnah is only talking about a place, as we'll see later on, where Beis Din is the original Takana Ezra, where they had a tfias for Beis Din even in places that normally wouldn't have a Beis Din every day. We don't have that. But furthermore, we don't have any time for Znus between the Kedushin and the Nesus. Therefore, the Etzem Inyan of the Takana is no longer Nogea. We'll see there may be other elements that are Nogea, but we're not mocked it to be Mekayim this Mishnah, as the Masechet begins with... So a betula is to be married in the day time of a Wednesday, and almana should be married on a Thursday. We'll see why that part is true. But vis-a-vis the betula, shepa'amayim b'shabbat v'teginim yoshvim ba'ayarot. Because we know that there was a takana of Ezra that there should be twice a week, b'sheni b'chamishi, that one of the takanas of Ezra was that in all, even small towns, there should be a Beis Din at sheni b'chamishi. Therefore, we want to make sure that when they wake up in the morning on Thursday, and he's upset about not finding a betulim, shima yulot anat betulim ayamashkim l'beidin. We want to give him an opportunity to come to Beit Din and to discover whether, in fact, she may be asura to him. Now we'll see that Lamaisa, even if he would find that she's not a betula, there's a lot of other issues. You know, I mean, first of all, she may have been raped. I mean, even then, she wouldn't be asura unless it's a kohen. So this would only be an absolute for a kohen. If he finds a betah patura, it would really be a challenge. This is all we're going to get into later on. But as Tosis points out over here, once we have a place where there might be an actual isra on him, there's only one suffix. So because of that, we were already koveya the day for that purpose. There's other issues, many other issues. There's a lot of complex, interrelated things that are taken into consideration in this Mishnah, which on the surface appears very straightforward. And yet we'll see immediately the Gemara opens up with a statement that makes us recognize that things are seldom what they seem. And indeed, the Mishnah right away strikes us, wait a minute, but what does that have to do with a Wednesday? I mean, so then a Sunday ought to be just as good. Besides, people are off from work. It would be better to have a Sunday wedding, right? So there's something's missing in this mission. It's not, tell me, Pamayim b'Shabbat does not explain why there would be Liyom HaRavi. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef now quotes, Amar Rav Yonam HaShmuel, Mipnei ma amru betula nisek Liyom HaRavi. So why is there a halacha of a betula getting married on a Wednesday? Now, there's a lot of different ways of understanding what the Gemara thought this meant initially. There's four or five different approaches among the Rishonim and the Achronim. The simplest way of understanding is that the Gemara takes Rabbi Yosef initially. Rabbi Yosef himself understood that what Rabbi Yudam Rishmuel meant is a direct question. What is the nafkamina of telling me that Betula is Niseit L'Yom Aravi? So the surface appears a little bit ridiculous. I mean, what do you mean, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is the tefillin is simply on maravim. What kind of funny question is that? So Rashi, indeed, we'll see later on, that Rashi understood the initial question as being, but what happened to Sunday? But then the continuation is very problematic, according to Rashi. You know, if the Tosfos doesn't like this, Tosfos understands that the question is, what are the implications outside of the fact that we have such a halacha? The truth is that in the Yerushalmi, there is a mandiyamar where it makes it clear that this is just an eitz teva. It's not a chiyuv. It's not a chiyuv, so then already, I mean, there's some of the Achronim learn, maybe that's what the Gemara is taking into consideration. He's learning that it's not an absolute, and everything. What would be an afkamina halacha, somebody who does or doesn't? Is there some kind of absolute afkamina halacha? That's another way of learning it. But, I mean, the truth is that the entire sugya interrelates in a way that's very complex, and I want to leave you some of these things hanging, and we'll see by the end, hopefully it'll all come together. So let's just learn the way Tosfos learns it. So what we want to know is, what is the nafkamina in this takana that applies elsewhere for needing to marry on a Yom Revi'i? And we answer, lefi sheshaninu, because we have a mission that says, higiyaz ban velo nis'u, ochlot mishalov, ochlot betrumah, since we'll see later on that if a chatan tells the kala that, okay, he's ready now for taking her to the chuppah, so she gets 12 months to prepare. But he has to perform within those 12 months. In other words, if 12 months pass and he hasn't taken her, so at that point he becomes now chayev in doing whatever he would be chayev in terms of her parnosah. Now the question is, but what if the 12 months end on some other day but a Wednesday? So therefore, comes along the Mishnah that's home. Oh, there's also another nafkamina, that if he's a Kohen, she's even allowed to eat truma. Now we know that Mi'ikra, then every Arusa would be allowed to eat truma because she's Kinyan Kasfo. Kinyan Kasfo is Ochelet. But if you recall, we have a Takana that we don't want any Arusa to be eating truma because we're afraid of the proverbial Coke bottle in the fridge, which is going to be truma Coke only for Kohanim, and they won't notice and they'll drink the Coke. The other kids in the family are not Kohanim, and she's going to keep, she's an Arusa, she's going to keep things in the fridge. Meanwhile, she's living, obviously, with her family. So, therefore, we don't allow her. That's one reason. The other reason is that we're afraid that it may turn out that the marriage will be a mekach ta'ut, that he doesn't realize that she has some very serious mum that would be enough to pass the whole, annul the whole marriage, in which case she would have been eating truma shelo kedin this entire time. So, because of those two reasons, we don't allow an arusa to eat. However, after 12 months, so at that point, first of all, once he's chayev to be mefarnes her completely, so he no longer forget about taking the stuff home and putting it in the fridge. I certainly don't intend to feed the whole family. So he's meyachid for her a makah, in which he gives sufficient food for her, and now it's no longer mixed with the family's food. We don't have the chashash, therefore, of the Coke bottle. By the way, Coke bottles themselves may not be a problem for truma, right? So, but I'm only using it as an example. We really mean the wine bottle. She starts off with that. The housewife's complaint right at the beginning. But so she's got her wine bottle. But as far as Sipon, as far as Amum is concerned, it's the same thing. Once already 12 months have passed, he already did sufficient research to know that there's nothing that serious that's going to suddenly turn up that he doesn't know about. All issues that we'll discuss later. So therefore, since we learned that after 12 months, he giazman and he didn't perform, we'll see whether Velon Nisu actually means he didn't perform, because it's in the passive. Velon Nisu means and they were not married. That, of course, opens up the door to the question of, does that mean that something happened to prevent the marriage other than the fact that he didn't perform, which we have to think about, which we will later today. But if he gives ban Velon Nisu, ochlot mishalov ochlot betruma. Okay. So at this point, he's got to pay, and she gets the truma. Yochel gives ban be'echad b'shabbat yeh ma'alela mizonot. You might think that if it comes out now that the 12 months end on a Sunday, that he should now have to start paying up. Lekach shaninu, that's why the Mishnah says, B'tulani sefer yom ha'revi. Now that sounds crazy. I mean, what? I mean, that doesn't address the Sunday issue at all. Anyway, I mean, it's strange we say Sunday, because Sunday is exactly the day that we're worried about. So it seems, again, because of that, unlikely that we just picked Sunday out of a hat. So it's more reasonable to say, indeed as Rashi understands the sugya, that we were looking for a reason about why it is Wednesday and not Sunday. In which case, this is really crazy because then you haven't answered anything. All you've told me is that there will be a difference if it comes out to be a Sunday or a Wednesday. But why, you haven't told me. If that was the issue, why am I raising the question and answering it in a way that makes no sense? So again, you can see no matter how we learn the sugya, something is strange. If we learn it like Tosfos, why are we asking what the Nafka Mina is when the Nafka Mina is what it says? You have to get married on Wednesday. If we're learning like Rashi, you haven't even begun to address the issue, which Tosfos points us to. I mean, how could that be the question if you don't give it any answer at all? So there's something behind or between the lines here, which we're going to have to figure out. So Rav Yosef, indeed, he himself quoted this. Remember that Rav Yosef became ill and afterwards forgot what the heck he meant when he was quoting something. So he says this, remember he said this over. And he says, God of Abraham, Mori d'Avram, this is crazy. But Toli Tanya, but Alo Tanya. Understand, we have a Mishnah that talks itself about what it's talking. And he, in order to explain the Mishnah, says, and of course what explains this Mishnah is something that isn't said in a Mishnah or Brisa. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Hi Tanya, but Alo Tanya. What are you referring to? They're both Tanya. Alo Tanya, but Alo Tanya. We were quoting, in both cases, we were quoting the Mishnah. So what do you say? I mean, Toli Tanya, he takes, over here, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, whom I am quoting, takes a Beferish of Mishnah that was Mefarish Taima, it said, its own reason. It's Betulah Niseit L'Yom HaRevi'i. Why? Because we need for the Betulah to be next to a day in which a Beis Din is open. So it says the reason. It's all self-contained, the Mishnah. So what is he now opening? The reason is something where it doesn't even say a mission, a reason at all. All it says there is that the fact is that after 12 months you have to pay up. How could that be the reason for this mission? I don't understand what he's talking about. So Tanya the Mefarish Taima, but Tanya the Lone Mefarish Taima. I must have misunderstood, says Rav Yosef. Ella e itbar hachmizma. What I was quoting must mean like this. I read it as a question. I read it, Mipneima Amru Betilal Nisait L'Yom HaRevi'i. No. It's a statement. Here's how it should have been said. Hachi Yidna. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mipneima Amru Betilal Nisait L'Yom HaRevi'i, Shimayal Ota'anat Betulim HaMashkim L'Beitin. Now, I'm troubled by the fact. Now here we enter. That was a statement to open up the door to our understanding of what he's coming to address. He's coming to address what happened to Sunday. The Mishnah explains itself and leaves open the question of, so, what about Sunday? Because there too, see, that it turns out that he finds Petach Patuach. So he could still go Monday morning, he could still come Monday morning to Beitin. It's exactly the same. Therefore, Shmuel is pointing out, clearly, there is some other issue that the Mishnah is taking for granted. Okay? I'm going to explain to you what that issue is. But it's irrelevant what the issue is in a sense. The issue is that Shaktu Chachomim al Takanat Benot Yisrael Shiyahei Toreach B'Seudah Shlosha Yamim. The Chachomim wanted to be certain that there would be sufficient investment in a wedding. And therefore, they wanted you to have 3 weekdays to prepare. So you would have over here Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to prepare the wedding. They don't want you rushing into a wedding after Shabbos. What are you going to do now? Sunday, when are you going to do all the preparations? You're going to cook everything, make everything ready on Sunday morning for the wedding? Yes?
Why do Ashna Shaktu instead of like, it's a kind of wedding?
Shaktu means that they were very, very active in seeing to it that Benot Yisrael should be. It's not just they made a takana. They were driven to make this takana. This was the first response to the women lib tainis. It's not just that they care about women. They desperately care about women, right? So they were shocked about Takanat Benot Yisrael, so that we should have sufficient time to prepare a wedding on Echad B'Shabbat, Sheni B'Shabbat, V'Shishi B'Shabbat, which now, on a Wednesday, you can go in like a mensch over the Konsa. That is the point. Of course, all of that is missing. It's all between the lines. It's a very crazy way of understanding what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. I'll explain in a moment. Now let's get back. By the way, this is one of the strangest doctrines. All of the Rishonim and Acharonim are saying, what in the world was the Shakla Vitaria in this doctrine? It's one of those type of doctrines that can only be understood holistically, not really perfectly well linearly, which is why I'm leaving things hanging so that we can get back to seeing it in its proper perspective. What the Shaktu is also not all that clear. There's some who learn that the Shaktu is per se part of the Takana of coming to Beit Din. How is that? We'll see later on that the belief in the person who tainas that it was Petach Patuach, I mean, why should we trust him to claim Petach Patuach? I mean, how is he going to prove that he didn't find a Petula? Maybe he just decided he doesn't like it. So we have a concept called Ein Adam Toreach Besudah Mafsidah. The guy's going to put in so much investment, now all of a sudden he decided he doesn't like her, it's outrageous. Unlikely, right? But in order to assure that that's the case, so then we need to make sure that he puts investment into the Suda. So that means that the idea of Shaktu is that there should not be just frivolous suits about Betulim, but they would have to be very serious suits about Betulim.
But it's Shaktu of Benos Yisrael.
That's right. So that there shouldn't be frivolous tainas against Benos Yisrael. Since they are now in a position of vulnerability, so that what he's going to go around saying what he wants, and of course this is why the din of Motzi Shem Ra appears here in this Masechta, because it's all built around that idea. Motzi Shem Ra, Oines, Befata, these are ideas that have come up in Ketuvah, for obvious reasons, because it's all built around those concepts. So in order to make sure that we don't get frivolous tainas, we went ahead and we're shocked to make sure that there's enough investment. The portion of Pshat that most of the Rishonim learned is that it means exactly what it says. Part of the takona of ketuvah itself was the chashivut of how it is that people treat women, so that it shouldn't be kal be'inav lo'otziyan. And part of the chashivut of how people treat women is that when you make a chasana, it can't be something that's a fly-by-night cheap kind of job. It requires investment and preparation and care. Once you do that, then the institution of marriage is itself more chashiv be'inei habriyot, which means that the relationship becomes important. It's part of the idea of ketuvah itself, which raises the relationship above znut, or above a formalized znut. This is a big issue, because from here, it seems clear from our sugya that the chatan prepares the suvida, and that, as a matter of fact, it used to be that you could even sue for such a thing. If no tznoyim were made, you could sue for the fact that he should prepare. And as to why it changed and when it changed, there's a lot of discussion about it, but let's wait on that. Let's try to get the shot in the dot clear first. Notice there's nothing to laugh about. Exactly. You of all people should laugh.
Is there any way to mention flop or anything like that?
To mention what?
Flowers.
Let's see. Now, here is my point, says Shmuel. What I'm trying to say is that since that's true, now that the Mishnah has basically formalized in law the concept of shakdu, therefore, and everybody has to understand, so then why doesn't the Mishnah say shakdu? I mean, this is the point. Why is it all between the lines? What is he trying to say? What he's saying, and now that we see that the Mishnah is assuming shakdu, so then say shakdu. Why do you give a reason? You give a reason that Ptula needs to be on Revi, which is an insufficient reason. It's half of the reason. The other half of the reason you don't mention. The point of the Mishnah would be its implications for the fact that it wasn't Yom Rishon. What is going on over here? If Shaktu is such an important thing that Shmuel has to say, and now that we've learned about Shaktu, there are now implications vis-a-vis the chiyuv of being kenes to the woman within 12 months. Well, so that's the point. Then it's even more outrageous that we left it out of the Mishnah. But let's take a look now first at what he says. So now that we understand that the Mishnah must be incorporating the din of Shakdu, so if that is the case, then Otash Shaninu, the other halachas that we know in the context of Mizonot, Igiyaz Man Velo Nisur Chlot Mishalov Chlot Petrumah, now we must understand that in the event that Igiyaz Man Bechad B'Shabbat, if the 12 months are up on a Sunday, now, if you read the Mishnah, and I haven't pointed this out to you, Sishmu, you would have thought that in circumstances where at least it's possible to be Mekayim Ta'anat Betulim, which is a Sunday, so then he should have to perform on a Sunday. And the element of the Wednesday is just, it's a good thing. an additional issue, maybe, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, because we want people to sleep together on the day that Dagim were given a bracha. So Dagim were given a bracha, period, Arabia, that's a din of bracha, whoopee. Maybe that's the issue. I mean, that's a nice thing, but certainly not enough of a thing to be koveya that he shouldn't have to pay up, perhaps. But Tosafos actually asks, why not? I mean, why not say because of bracha? Why isn't that a concept? Which, by the way, is a very serious issue in modern halacha. Because the Ramah paskins that there's a minhag to get married during the first part of the month because the moon is growing. Because the moon, femininity, and so on and so forth, so people have that minhag. But he doesn't bring the din of bracha beyond Chamishi. Everybody says, I understand. Well, you have some kind of mumbo jumbo, but you don't believe it's a bracha. The Gemara never talks about that. But the one thing that the Gemara does talk about, that you don't say is important halacha. What kind of craziness is that? Oh, yeah, but Tuesday's got no bez than on Wednesday. That we know we can't do. Okay, again, I'm throwing out all of these issues so we can get a better sense of what's happening overall. But therefore, says Shmuel, now that it is indeed incorporated in law, that Yom Revi is Yom Revi because also Shoktu, and they don't like a Sunday. So, and I want to add, says Rabbi Yosef, I want to add, Leficha, being as we have seen that, Chalahu or Shekaltahi, suppose he gets sick or she gets sick on the day that they're supposed to get married, Oshapirsa Nida, or she becomes a Nida on that day, so then he can't marry her. This, of course, is a question. Why can't he marry her? So the whole question of Rambam said, but you can't marry her. It's going to end up, you know, it wouldn't be kosher. Because that would mean that the chuppah is, in fact, the yichud, which can't be mityached with a nida. Yeah, you know, it's a question of whether it's proper. Maybe it doesn't necessarily mean it wouldn't be chal. Big discussion to Rishonim. But if it comes out in a way that you're not going to marry her today, not through any fault of your own, eino ma'ale la mizonot, so then he wouldn't have to pay. Now, the conclusion of Rabbi Yosef makes things even worse. Because if the point was, in what Shmuel was saying, was that now that we have incorporated a takanat chachamim that defines a day of marriage, then you cannot perform before that day mitzad hadin. Comes along Rabbi Yosef to say, and therefore if you can't perform mitzad hadin, so if some type of logistical problem crops up, you also don't have to perform. What? How does that follow from what Shmuel is saying? The opposite. Shmuel is saying, since Shishanino, since we defined it in the Mishnah as part of, and worse, you could say, since we defined in the Mishnah specifically that the reason is because we care about women, so does it make sense that a woman should be able to sue because we care about women? But on the other hand, to say, what, you jerk, you get sick on the wedding? That's no different than if you get sick 2 months after the wedding. I got no patience for men who get sick. It's the same thing every woman says, right? It's the same thing if you get sick before the wedding, I got no patience. I want my mezainis. Exactly the same thing. So how can Rabbi Yosef come along and say, so therefore, if he catches a cold, he doesn't have to take a pay. Doesn't have to pay. That doesn't seem to follow at all. You see all these issues, very, very problematic. So, the question, again, I'm putting together now a conglomeration of various elements that are said between many Rishonim on different levels. But on one level, the idea of not mentioning Shaktu is simply because for Shaktu alone, we wouldn't have been Koveya Day for a wedding. In other words, if we must, because of Inyanim of Iser, as opposed to relationship with women for Shaktu, because of Iser, we need to worry about a day. So we choose a day that's suitable for marriage. Once we choose a day that's suitable for marriage, we are now minding other people's business. In other words, generally speaking, the Chachomim are not going to enter into elements that are completely up to you. They're going to start telling you how to act in your bedroom and when it is you're supposed to get married. And so that's your business. But if we have a concern which borders on the concern of Yisr, and over here we do have such a concern because of the eventuality of Znus that would have actually asked a woman on her husband. If it was a Kohen, it would only be one suffix would be sufficient to ask her. So we now have to get involved. Once we get involved, we are now interested in defining across the board what would the most appropriate day be to get married, even though we never would have said such a thing on its own. So we're not going to mention Shaktu as a reason, because Shaktu is not a reason. Shaktu is an adjunct. All that Shmuel, therefore, would be pointing out is that now that the Mishnah has said that there is a day,
So then that means that we need to understand that there were other elements that were taken into consideration. I believe that the element of Shaktu, and that works out beautifully according to those who learned, that Shaktu is itself related to Ta'anat Betulim. So I believe the issue is Shaktu. Once that's true, it is now very nogea l'halacha, because if the Mishnah meant only to say that we need to have bate dinim that are available for Ta'anat Betulim, so then that would mean that if this day fell out on a Sunday, so of course you're going on a Sunday, you're going to be day for the 12 months because of some silly reason. But we see that the Mishnah avoided discussing the whole thing. And instead it made pretend that there's a takana based on Isser that was Koveh Yom Revi. Once that's true, I can no longer say, well, now it's up to me to decide what's more important. The Shaktu, what if she says she'd rather get married? I don't care about the Shaktu. Or what about if I prepared the Siddur before? I mean, go prepare the Siddur before Shabbos. Or whatever the case may be. So maybe she could say, look, I mean, under these circumstances, your months are up. Therefore comes on Shmuel to say, does it not strike you as odd that the Mishnah supplies a reason that's insufficient for its own logic? That it says, B'tula Disek L'Yom Ravi, and doesn't tell you why. Must be that it's telling you why we made a takona of Yom Ravi. Whatever other issues are taken into consideration, why specifically we would choose a Wednesday over a Sunday, it's not the point. But what it does mean is that this is a real takana, not simply a nice idea. Once it's a real takana, it's very interesting, Ramesh Zatzal brought a riot from this sugya. From this point, once it's a real takana, this is how Rav Yehuda is understanding it, it becomes the equivalent of force majeure. You can't take her. But that would mean that if you're sick or she's in need or whatever it is, you can't take her. So what it's really saying is, not that it's included in the takana that the same way the Rabbanan said 12 months and you have to pay, the Rabbanan defined what those 12 months are. No, that's not the point. The point is that there's a separate takana of what day is appropriate for marriage. Yom Revi'i. So you'll say, okay, what does that have to do with it? I mean, that's the day that's appropriate for marriage, so I should have thought of that before and made the 12 months come out on that day. If I didn't, so I'm going to pay. No, says Shmuel, there's an afkamina halacha because there's no way to take her. Because you have to respect the takanat chachamim. Okay, so that means he's taking for granted that where there is no way to perform, even though over here the Rabbanan didn't say, and therefore don't pay, that by definition you don't have to pay. If that's the case, as Rabbi Yosef says, if you catch the flu, you can't perform. So then you don't have to pay. That's what Shmuel is basing it on. Moshe brings riots from just all kinds of fascinating situations of conditions that were made where a person can't perform because of things that weren't part of the conditions, like colds. That brings it from this Gemara. Because otherwise, it makes no sense at all. So therefore, what we're really saying is that taking a look at the sugya now from a moralistic point of view, the Yosef starts off halacha, and he's talking about a mimer of Shmuel that on the surface seems to be explaining the nafkamina of the fact that there is a Yom Revi. But he says, but that, what do you mean that's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is Yom Revi. Ah, I understand. What it really means is there is a bedafka Yom Revi as opposed to the reason that's given in the Mishnah. Whatever that reason is, it means that Yom Revi is now a takona. If Yom Revi is a takona, what is the implication of that? The implication of that is that you can't do it at another time. And if you can't do it at another time, you will not have to pay up. That's what he's coming to say. So it comes out beautifully, says Rabbi Yosef. Now I understand. That's brilliant. Because it's taking everything for granted. The very fact that it doesn't explain its reason is good for the point that Shmuel is making. The Mishnah incorporated that reason in saying Yom Revi. It doesn't have to give you the reason. There's some who say the reason that it doesn't want to give you the reason is not simply that the reason would be insufficient, but rather that the reason would appear laughable and that people would be mezalzel in it. Nu mele, shakta, what is this women's lit stuff? We do things to make women happy. So it was the other shot of shakta. Whatever, they didn't want to expose it. But I think it's much deeper than that. I think that the goof of the point that Shmuel was making is that if you make an announcement that there is a day, that means you're not opening all your cards to us. Right? But that's true in all takonas. You never show all your cards. Mm-hmm. So that means that this is a real takana. The Mishnah's not coming to explain the overall structure of the takana. It's pointing out the basis of our getting involved in the takana. oh man, if that's the case, who knows what levels of complexity we're dealing with here. You can't start making an analysis of maybe under these circumstances it would be kedai to do it or not. Maybe the time is up, so how could be Makai of me to pay and tell me I can't meet? You can't make those constraints. Once that's true, you're a true honest, and therefore you're not going to have to pay. Okay, so the opening, therefore, is to point out that there is a complex takana that ends up taking into consideration the levels of iser, which is the question of the petach patuach vis-a-vis the kohen, and therefore the broader takana to make it a davar kavua, or as Rashi says, the possibility that just raising the issue will bring forth people who know about the nature of the relationship that she had before the chuppah. Furthermore, there were other issues behind the scenes. How it is that we want to treat women, how much investment we want to have in a marriage, the fact that there is a bracha that's involved also in getting married in Yom Rabbi, all these things are going to be nisgala later on as we proceed in the Masech, but it may be many issues, which is true of all takanas, and the Chachamim gradually let out this point and that point, which are facets of the takanas that are taken into consideration, despite the fact that they're insufficient to cause the takanas in the first place.
So the shaka then is part of the bigger picture.
That's right. The shaka of the Tari was a way simply of allowing us to see what the problems are in the Mishnah, and how they can be resolved in the broader picture, which is really, I mean, it doesn't often come out so powerfully that the Shaka V'Tayr doesn't make sense to you see it from that point of view. But the truth is, just about any sugya that you start taking apart falls apart, unless you look at it in terms of the holistic view. Okay, so this now opens up the door to the question of what indeed is considered to be an inability to perform. So Rabbi Yosef says, well, whatever it is, you can't perform, you can't perform. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute, he seems to be jumping to conclusions over here. What's this cholahu or cholta'i? I mean, actually, there are some who take the starting point of the discussion. Was Shmuel's conclusion that you don't have to pay because there is a takana of Yom Rabbi, and they say, okay, but what about cholahu? How about he gets the flu? I mean, hatam time am I, mishum da'anis. Is the whole point of needing to marry on Yom Ravi and not having to pay if it turns out to be a Sunday, it's because it's out of your hands? So, I mean, flus are out of your hands too? So, akinam yo'anis. Or is there a difference of an onus that comes out of a takana which you are not part of? This is a universal takana. Something that's a universal, you're caught up in. Something that's a personal problem, because you're caught up in it, this is your problem. So, it's just like anything else, you know. You want it to be that day at the opening of the Olympics, and you can't. You're not going to say, since I can't, I shouldn't have to suffer. You're going to suffer, because you're sick. It's like anything else that happens to you. So maybe, if you're understanding it, takana d'rabbanan, okay, I understand. So there you don't pay. But hello over here, what, a personal event takes place, it's your problem, like anything else that takes place in your life. And let's say that indeed that's true. Ibn Salomar, that Chalahu, that if he gets sick, he has to pay. How about if she gets sick? If she gets sick, I mean, can't he say to her, Motsi Omar Lo, look, baby, Ana Hakaimna, I'm waiting for you. So come to the chuppah. I can't come to the chuppah. Send me some steak. So she said, I'm waiting. When you come to the chuppah, I'll send you some steak. Or she can say to him, this is your problem too, because now it's your bad luck that I got sick. And that's much more female than that's what you would normally assume. So she can say to him, look, it's your field that got flooded. Remember, we learn out the din of Tifa Tifa, Mistayev. So that means since now she is his saga, because he has purchased her with the Kedushin, so this is your problem now, buddy. I mean, if you've got a bad mazel and your field gets flooded, don't come complain to the field. So if that's the case, you should pay up. And let's say that she actually could say that. She could say, Omlin istakwa sadeu, this is your bad mazel. Because, look, it was your day to feed me. And yes, you say, if I'm going to feed you, don't I at least get the benefit of being married to you? That's your problem. How about if Pir Sanida? How about this last case with Yosef? Slammed all these four cases together. Takanta Rabbanan, Cholahu, Choltahi, Pirzanida. The second Lashon actually raises the possibility that each one is a next level up, and we'd have to go about it with an Intim Tzolaymar. So Pirzanida, how about if she becomes a Nida? What am I going to say now? It's your fault I became a Nida. I mean, that You know, I mean, that's what we've been blaming women for from the beginning. And that was all Congress' fault. I mean, this is like the ultimate. Now Congress is going to twist the table, turn them on us? So what would be the denominator here? So Bisha Adbest, obviously, if this was her normal period, she certainly can't say this is your bad luck. I mean, she had this period always, right? So obviously, she can't say to him, this is your problem. But how about if she suddenly is poreset nida, not at the time of her normal period? What about that? My, given the lovish atvesta, do we say that since it's out of the normal cycle, matzia amrelesha, she could say, so see, it's all your problem. Nistav chasadehu, odilma, given the ikanashi, the komeshanya vesta, do we say, since it's not unusual to change periods, especially with hormonal influences of a marriage and so on, so maybe a change period is kisha atvestadami, maybe that too would be the equivalent of her normal veset, and it's part of her and not of him. Tosis points out, not everybody agrees with this, that the reason that he can't say that on the contrary, it's a woman, why is he the one that can blame everything on him in the case of Nides? Even if we would say that it was a not normal change, because he is the one that's mechuyev in period of arrivius, as Tais was. So therefore, she doesn't really care. She could say, look, I don't have a kiyev in period of arrivius. So you're the one who's gotten into problems because of the fact that you can't sleep with me, because of other elements in a marriage. And therefore, if you've got a problem with this, so then why should I have to pay? You should still mechuyev to give me my mezonos. Poshid Rav Achoi. So Rav Achoi now brings a raya from the following. There's a very interesting Rashbam who says, we never find a lashon of poshit on an amora in the Gemara. We poshit. This must be Rav Achoi gone. And it's an insertion from after the time of the Ma'amoroi. So it's poshit Rav Achoi after the time of the Gemara. Rav Achoi actually found a raya that the Gemara didn't include. Very interesting Rashbam. Tosus, on the other hand, says no. Because, first of all, there's a brilliant thing that Tosus points out. Every Amora has a different way of talking. So some people attack. Some people curse. Some people ask, right? So we find, why did Allah buy? Why who's cursing me? That's ridiculous after we've saying, right? Or we have Rabbi Yochanan always saying, ah, toyva, wah, 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 wah. So everybody's got their own approach. Magadev already, he curses them out in a different way. Other people are matkiv. Ravacha's approach was to be pashit. What do you want? We often find different lashonas. Everybody's got his act. And so we have a word that reflects his act. But he says this is not Ravachoy gone, which would mean that this would be the Bala Shiltais after the time of the Amoroi. Because, I mean, he shows that Rav Ashi seems to be discussing with Rav Achoi his poshit. So how did that happen? So it must be, therefore, from the time of the Amoraim. But it's why he doesn't think that poshit is that unusual. So in any event, poshit Rav Achoi, you know, it says, Yigiyaz man, I want you to listen to the grammar, okay? Because you've all been talking about the halakas, says Rav Achoi, but you haven't been concentrating on the grammar. It says, "Yigiyaz man v'lo nisu v'chod mishalov v'chod b'truma lo nasu." Does it say nasu v'lo nasu? Nasu would be the active, and they didn't perform the nisuin. Lo katan. Does it say that? It says the passive. Lo nisu. It's interesting. It does. It says that there must have been a kabbalah as to how to read it. Because certainly it wasn't. That's very interesting. That there was a Kabbalah and how correctly to read Gemara, or to read a Brayta, or to read a Mishnah. So that they knew that the correct pronunciation was Nisun, otherwise the dropping of a Yud in a Ketiv, which is very often chaser, I mean, it's certainly not to prove anything. Says, but we know that the correct way to read this is Lo Nisu. Not to mention the fact, says Tosfos, that if the Lo Nasu were referring to the men, so then the whole thing should have been B'Lashon Rabbi. Ochlot Mishalahem, not Ochelot Mishalo. All of a sudden we're switching to B'Lashon Rabbi. So the mashma'ut, therefore, is nisu, is the two of them didn't get married in the passive. But it's in the passive, it's not referring to his lack of performance. It's referring to the fact of the non-marriage, whatever the reason would be. So doesn't it say, let me ask you something. What does that mean, okay? Lo nisu. Say it to me. If she refuses to get married, if she's saying, no, I don't want to get married, I certainly can't mean that. I mean, She can't have it both ways. El Allah, this guy got them, must mean that something happened to prevent the marriage. And nonetheless, it says, Avot Mishalov, Avot Betruma. So, I think that grammar is itself sufficient to prove to us that a type of honest that's not a takanat chachamim is not sufficient to potter him from pain. Om Ravashi, I don't know. I mean, Leolam Emelok, look, I could say, then maybe kol un solo achol. Maybe the way Rav Yosef said it isn't so bad. Any type of event that prevents the marriage may be sufficient to potter him from providing her mizonot. And what we're talking about, to come akve inu, maybe the idea over here that it has to pay is that indeed he was the reason and he didn't perform. And it should have said, you're right, it should have said lo nasu. They don't do boil me lo nasu. Okay, but the ratio was talking about her, right? Ochelet mishalom. So when we suddenly start talking about the Lashon Zohar, when all along we've been talking about her rights. So now we switch to her, to him. So we say it in the sense of lo nisu, to at least include both ideas. So if they didn't get married, but it really means they didn't get married because of him. So Tananami Sefer B'Didi, it uses a Lashon that would include as well her. Omar Rava says, Rava, okay, you've got an interesting point over here that the meaning of a takana that gives us Yom Revi'i would have implications in terms of performance on if there's duress because of the takana. I want you to know that that's all very nice when it comes to this idea of marriage. However, an equivalent case, le'inyin gitin inokin, if it would come to a question of giving a get with a condition, so that you're supposed to perform this condition within 12 months. That's the same idea. We're talking about marriage. Give a divorce that has in it a condition of performance. And then an ones happens. I say that when it comes to gittin, there is no such thing as saying that the ones now prevents the get from being chal. You, Rabbi Yosef, says, therefore the idea would be, and that's what they mean. In this case, it's not true. An ones, in fact, is not going to happen. Let's say he says to his wife, if I don't show up within 12 months, this should be a get from now. And he doesn't show up. But he doesn't show up because of an onus. He got a cold, he got the flu, he couldn't show up. Too bad. He didn't show up. I say, when it comes to getting, it's different. So, alma kasava rava. So, what Rava is saying is that ain onus begitten. You cannot come along and claim that something happened out of your control, and therefore, I never meant to give a get under these circumstances. And the get is therefore, but so you can't say that. Actually, the get would be chal anyway. Now that seems a little bit crazy. The guy doesn't have a das to give the get. So why would the get be chal? All this is going to become clear as we go along here. Now, first of all, where did Rava get that from? I mean, it was just out of the blue, Rava saying, hey, by the way, I just want to point out, this wouldn't be true about getting. I mean, where does he know that from? Well, maybe it's from the Mishnah. Is that what you're going to tell me? Ilay Mimot, it's not. A guy says, look, if I don't show up within 12 months, then this should be your get. And he dies within 12 months. Very hard for him to show up. So it says over there, ain't no get. Now, I mean, why in the world would we take a case of the ultimate onus? The guy drops dead. I mean, obviously he can't show up if he drops dead. I mean, why not? If you want to talk about an onus, talk about an onus where he got the flu. So over there, I understand this. It's similar to it. So that you can't under any circumstance. But you didn't because of other things, right? So apparently, it's only the case of where he died that it's not a get. But had there been what was just an ones, but say chola, then it would have been a get. So maybe that is exactly the point. If he died, it's not a get because ain get liachamita. You cannot give a get once the relationship is canceled by the death. You need the guy's das before his das. And therefore, well, that's where it all comes from, you know. It was that old tree of das. So, because of that, there's no get, but not because of the ones. So from there you see that an ones indeed would not have been sufficient reason for it to be a no get. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe the point is that it's coming to tell me that I'm get what I mean. No, maybe maybe indeed the halacha would be that if he were sick and that's why he didn't show up, He could say, look, it's not my fault I didn't come. But the reason that we chose the case of dying is because he grew for kamashman. He grew for coming to teach me. The ein get li achar mitra. Maybe that's the point. And maybe yesh ta'anat onus. And what we're trying to tell me is two halachas. In other words, I want you to know that there's two issues over here. You're going to have to deal with the ones problem. Now, obviously, why then do I mention mitah? I mean, I could have mentioned chav, because I want you to understand that this is a more complex issue. Because over here, we're going to have to deal with the fact that he died in any way in get la'achar misa. Because, as Tosis points out, if all you want to tell me is that in get la'achar misa, you don't have to turn it into a condition. Well, I mean, why make it conditional? Why not just say, somebody gives a get li'achar mitah, and he says, this should be your get after I die? But it's not a kosher get. You don't have to make a complex case of a condition. So clearly the Tana meant to include two separate issues. First of all, conditions. The conditions indeed are because of an ones. If they're not being met, they're chal and the get is batel. Besides which, there's another serious problem. Because then it would turn out to be a get li'achar misa. That's why I want to talk about misa. There's two things I'm trying to tell you. I mean, maybe that's the point, huh?
You said
me, I'm saying?
Then it would be not.
That's true in that case. But we'll see where that. But it doesn't say that here. We'll talk about that later. Says the Gemara, no. Because ain get liachar mita, I don't need to learn from here. That I learned from the Resha. What told the Resha? Areze gitech imat. This should be. This guy is ill. That's how Rashi learns. This guy is ill. He has a get written for his wife. And he says, this get should be chal if I die. Or this should be your get micholi ze. After the end of this illness. Because the illness never ended because it was terminal. So then it says, lo amaklum. Or hareza gite leachar mita. Lo amaklum. The Rambam learns it two different cases. The reza gite leachar mita is where the guy is well. Micholi ze is where the guy is ill. But whatever the case would be, he hasn't said anything. So why would I need to once again try to tell me the Kiddush of Ein Get Li'achar Mitah if that Kiddush is clear from the very opening? As the Gemara deal malachu in the Rabotei. This idea of the Seifa, Im Lo Bati, may be to tell me that is different from the Halach of Rabotei. What was the Halach of Rabotei? The Tanya of Rabotei, he tirua lihinase. The case over there is that he wrote the time of the get in the contract. So he writes on such and such a day, this get was written with the understanding that it would be if I don't come back, or after 12 months, or whatever the case would be. So the question is, the date, what is the meaning of that date? Is the meaning of that date the equivalent, as Sabah Josh pointed out, to say that what I mean is the get should be chal now, and that's why it has that date? Or is it simply dating the contract so we can trace it? That is indeed a machlokas. So it says over there that Rabotenu, we have a halacha of Ein Get La'achar Mita. It says over here a date in the get. And he says, if I don't come by such and such a time, he could have said that the get should be chal retroactively. So then Ein Achinami, it would be chal. So they said that in that case of Im Lo Bati, it's okay to go ahead and to get married. And man rabotenu, I'm Rabbi Roshul, beidino de shoru mashre. It's the same bezdin that was matir the shemen of goyim, who is Rabbi Yudin Nesia, the grandson of Rabbeinu Hakadosh. The reason being, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says whenever there's a contract that has a time in it, then it's meant to imply zmanu shostar mochiach alav, that it was meant to define when it should be chal, even though he didn't say so. So if he writes, even though he didn't say the words, this get should become me hayom, it's as if he said me hayom.
Because he put the date on it.
And therefore, we want to make it very clear that no ain't get le'achar misa, even if it would have lafukim in rabba sing. Okay, so maybe there's two different levels. But in any event, I certainly can't prove from here my contention that there's no ones begin. Where do I prove that from? I think we should see tomorrow because we're way over time here because of our introduction. Okay, so just once again to review, we came out that there's a takana for the times in which there was a time difference, sometimes a very long time difference between the erusin and the nisuin, and for places where Bezdin is yoshev twice a week, and we were koveya that day to be a Wednesday, and the implications of that would be that therefore you cannot get married on any other day, so that you don't have to perform if you said, I'm going to perform within 12 months, which has now implications for other reasons for non-performance, which we have questioned between the Ikeniami and Rav Yossi, what level of force is considered to be an ones, which led us to Rava, who said, but all of this is not Nogea Gittin. When it comes to Gittin, you can forget about excuses. There are no excuses. Where does Rava get that from? We don't know. How it could possibly work, if the guy doesn't want to give a get, that we're going to send it again anyway, we don't know. That we're holding until tomorrow. But meanwhile, we've got some very serious issues that we've begun putting under our belt. So it's a good beginning.